to approach God in his word of life and to petition him for a blessing. Before we would open God's word, let's first bow our hearts in a word of prayer. Our loving God and faithful Father in heaven, we are thankful that as humans, we do not need to explain to thee the needs that we as thy children, as thy creation, as thy church, or even as thy servant, has in this moment in time of our lives. We are thankful thou knowest us better than we do ourselves. And thou art able to bless us in a way that meets and even exceeds the needs of thy people. Father, this afternoon, we pray for a blessing from thee. We pray that thou wouldst bless the opening of thy word to our hearts. We pray that thou wouldst lead this servant. Grant thoughts and words that would be able to express thy thoughts in thy words, that would honor thee, Father, that would glorify thee, that would speak a word to thy people, and would also enlighten the hearts of those that are not yet thine own. We pray, O God, that thou wouldst bless us in this way. We pray this, Lord Jesus, in thy name. Amen. Loved ones, this afternoon, with the help of the Lord and in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I would ask that we turn to the New Testament, to the Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, book of Ephesians, chapter number 4, and if we could begin reading with verse number 15 to the end.
Poslanica apostola Pavle Efesima, četvrta glava, početak od 15. broj.
Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse number 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye walk henceforth not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all manner of uncleanness with greediness, but ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands a thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the edifying, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. May the Lord bless the reading and the I am sure for every one of us that's in this room, if we were to ask each other what our days are like, what our weeks are like, the months of our life, and there are plenty of times in our lives when we can probably relate with Job, who described his life as a weaver's shuttle, filled with constant movement and busyness, seeking to produce a cloth woven. I guess that perhaps in the end really would be a picture of his life by the time he was done with his life. Brothers and sisters, you and I, and each of us, those of you who are future brothers and sisters as well, it's easy for us to get caught up in the details of our lives. And sometimes, as one brother put it, to find ourselves majoring in the minors. That these small details in our lives tend to just consume us. And we get so concerned about various things. If it's working for a living, providing, vacationing, or whatever the case might be, we find ourselves just caught up with life. I suppose that's part of being human. I'm right there with you. I'm no different. But as the Church of God, what's the bigger picture? What is all of our busyness intended to accomplish? What is God looking to accomplish through his church? What is he always intended to accomplish? The Bible says much about that. I think about what Paul wrote in this same letter to Ephesians. When he wrote in Ephesians chapter 2, as he says, beginning in verse 19, I'll start there. There's much could be read there. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus and Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Let me think about that. Do I think about that enough? Am I conscious that the things that the Lord would do in our lives, brothers and sisters, he has a goal and a purpose. He would make of you and I a habitation for God himself through the Spirit. That's an incredible thought, to think that God would make of you and I a habitation for his Holy Spirit, that God would indwell you and I individually. And he does this to accomplish his purposes. This is something for us to consider, and in a sense to refocus, I think, on. You and I, God's house. The things that happen in that house, the things we process in our minds, the things we allow to come into that house through our eyes, the things that we choose to listen to, we bring into that house with our ears. And I have to ask myself, are these things worthy of the Holy Spirit in my life? Are they worthy of God's holy presence in your heart? This is not something that we aspire to be. God says this is what his church is. It is. And whatever the state of our heart may be as it stands right now, I ask myself the question, would God be pleased with me? Would he be pleased with you? That's a question we ask ourselves. And I believe God gives us plenty of instructions in the Word to where this the answer to that question need not be a mystery, but God gives us his Word and gives us guidance to answer that type of a question. So we are called for a purpose. And as I read through scriptures, as I think about the aspect of building, and somehow this resonates with me, having been exposed and been an employee for many, many years, and am to this day. I think about things that relate to building frequently. And in Ephesians 4, we're reading about building. We can read about that in Ephesians 2, but we're reading about building. And brother and sister alike, whether we're in the building trade or not, makes no difference. As a child of God, we are builders. As a child of God, we are all builders of the kingdom of God. God says so. And each prior and each current and each succeeding generation, we are called to build, and God would build within our hearts. A verse 16. Before I read it for you again, when I, many, many years ago, probably three decades ago now, being called to a particular project to manage it, I had zero experience. I mean, zero experience. And I turned to the Lord, and I thinking to myself, don't have a degree in management. How is this going to work? And the Lord brought to me several passages from Scripture, probably a dozen. Each of them had specific points, principal points, that could be applied to building. I wrote all those things down, put them on my wall, and became my management plan. And decades later, it still works. One of the verses is verse 16, that went on that paper. And verse 16 says, in speaking about now, speaking about the process of actually building, and this is specific now to building the church of God, building the church of God. The Lord says, from whom the whole building fitly joined together. I'm going to pause right there. Fitly assembling something together. As a young man, helping my father and those that I worked with, I think I had a hard time connecting being born in the States. The attention to detail that they placed on being very exact in how they constructed homes, I really couldn't relate. They were so concerned about maybe a wall that was supposed to fit, follow a particular line, and how it had to just follow that line exactly. I just couldn't relate at the time. But I did what they told me to do. They would not compromise. If a wall was supposed to go in a certain spot, that's where it needed to be. I did it because that's what I was supposed to do. 30 years later, I am shocked. And what I see in construction these days, how on virtually every aspect of what you look at, I can't figure out how someone could possibly build something so poorly. You may not have that problem here in Ohio. I don't know. I hope you don't. A little bit of compromise. A little bit of compromise. In any and every trade, will produce something that can be very dangerous and simply not good. That's in a physical sense. Jesus is no different. Jesus is a master builder. And this is God's house that we are building. And God says, he gives us some instructions. You know, you take a look at a set of plans and they got all kinds of instructions on them, right? Jesus says that when materials are assembled together, he says these materials, the whole body, the bigger picture, should be fitly framed together. I remember as a kid struggling to put a piece of crown molding up. I couldn't do it. Someone who had the skill set would come behind me and fit those two pieces of wood together in a heartbeat and couldn't figure out what my problem was as a 14-year-old kid. I'm not being facetious here. There's a difference between putting fitly joining pieces together in a way that is done by a master craftsman and someone who might be just learning for the first time. But when we put things together in the church, if we are talking leadership, if it's ministers, if it's Bible class teachers, leaders, song leaders, directors, Sunday school teachers, evangelists, whatever the case might be, the Lord has given us in his word, these various areas of service, and we can read of this in a couple different scriptures, be it Romans 12, Ephesians 4, 1 Corinthians 12, these types of passages, as it were. But, for we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy, according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait under ministering, such service-like, we can think of service that way. Or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that sheweth mercy with cheerfulness. Various aspects, operations, administrations of the church that God has called out that are important for his church, that he gifts us as his children with, the ability to carry out certain types of service. And you know what type of a service God has given you when you are naturally drawn to a particular service, if you have a natural drawing to it, and God gives you the grace to serve in a certain way, there are those who are very drawn to a humanitarian service, finding the physical needs that people have, members in the church. They have a heart for this, and they want to do their best to provide for those who have a need, whatever the need might be, and they pour their heart into it, and God blesses them in that type of a service immensely. But we can read through the chapters, and we can read the various aspects that God says, I need these things to be assembled in order for my church to be able to operate and to thrive in the manner that I have designed it to do so. Let's break this down to taking two different things. The Bible says, here we read together in verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together. From generation to generation, in between those generations, the faith of the gospel of Jesus Christ must fit. The faith of the gospel of Jesus Christ must fit. It must fit. As the gospel has first been preached through Jesus Christ and the truths that the gospel contain, in Christ's generation, the Lord worked with his disciples for 3.5 years, became apostles. They then were used by the Lord to write scripture and to be used in the early church in the way they were. And we can be sure of one thing, that when Jesus was done, and he went to the cross, he was at peace within his heart, knowing that the apostles who followed him would honor his every teaching that he had given them and would be quick to follow in the way of Jesus Christ. Jesus being the cornerstone, the chief cornerstone, we'll call that the first generation. As he handed off his teachings to the apostles, from one generation to the next, that joint, if you will, where Jesus and the apostles were fitly framed together. You take two pieces of material. If you're sewing something, a garment on a sewing machine, or you're building a house, or you're putting together a car, I don't know what it is, but pieces that belong together. There's a certain way of putting these things together to where they will fit as a perfect match exactly the way they were intended to be fit together. This is exactly what Jesus needs for the church. Something about a joint, something about putting something together in a way that it won't come apart. When houses are built, the first thing that goes down is a foundation. Your foundations are different than ours in California. We have slab-on grades. You have basements here. But nevertheless, in considering how a foundation is actually put together, and you look at the way that foundation is put on the earth, into the soil, when that foundation is poured, it's done, that foundation and that soil are going to do this. They're going to grab onto each other. It's not this loose fit. But they actually, they have a union between the two of them. That's got to be that way. And I'll tell you why. As I'm reminded of Matthew, what the Lord said in Matthew, as he was speaking about those who hear the words and do the hear the word of the Lord and do them, and those who do not, right? Jesus said in Matthew 27:24, therefore whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Listen to the next verse. And the rains descended, and the floods came, listen to this, and the winds blew. We'll get back to that in a minute. And beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. A home built on a foundation that goes up vertically. When the winds blow on that structure is being pushed to move the foundation and loosen it up. And maybe if the winds aren't strong enough, we'll never realize that. But when winds get strong enough, the pressures become exceedingly great. And that wind starts moving, and it wants to damage or threaten the foundation of the home itself. If that foundation is damaged to some degree, that house is no longer habitable. Spiritual connection. The church of Jesus Christ, which is built on Jesus Christ, must also be assembled and fitly framed together in a way that when the pressure is on, the gates of hell are open and the devil is throwing everything he has at the church. I believe we have yet to see that in our generation. I believe we will. Not going to find that as doctrine. But from what I see in Scripture, there's a storm coming. My wife texted me yesterday and told me Hillary is here. The hurricane in California, or at least the effects of that hurricane, the wind. A storm is coming upon the church. Are we building in a way that the church will endure the storm? Is everything that we do in God's eyes, will his church endure the storm? Jesus wrote about the things that will happen before he comes again. He spells them out in Matthew, Mark, and Luke in detail. Difficult times lie in front of us. God forbid we build the church seeking to frame it fitly together just because we're afraid of the storm. We build for Jesus. He shed his blood for you and I. He is worthy of receiving only the absolute best. He has loved us to save us from damnation, eternal condemnation. It was by his stripes that we are healed. Because of his mercy and his grace and his long-suffering towards you and I, and the gift that he has given us through Jesus Christ and the blood that Jesus shed, he's worthy of all of our love. We can only afford to give him the best and the very best. And so it is that the Spirit of God spoke to the Apostle Paul in this chapter. And he says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together. Brothers and sisters in the church, we, you and I, must be able to join our hearts together, heart and heart together. That becomes difficult when our vision or our focus is personal. Perhaps we want to take things in our own hands. Maybe we think leadership should be a specific way. Perhaps we think the church should do this or do that. We become individuals. The only way the church really can be built in a way that honors and glorifies God is that we follow his word. There are certain things that, as you think about these two materials that go together, if it's two pieces of whatever it might be, there are certain things that cannot be in between those two pieces of wood. And try to fasten them together and expect that joint to stay together. On the other hand, there are certain things, fasteners and materials, that must be used to make those two pieces attach firmly together and, in fact, last a lifetime. Let's look at some of those. I find it notable that in this passage, after we read verses 15 and 16, listen to the words not. N-O-T, not. As God is telling us how to fitly join together, fitly frame together his church. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Now, listen to what follows that particular verse. These are all of the knots. These are the things that cannot be in between brother and brother and sister and sister or within the church. Because if it is, that the member to member that needs to join together, it's not going to be there. The brother they love and the unity of the Spirit that we need in Christ Jesus is not going to work. What should not be there? Walk not as other Gentiles in the vanity of their mind. And what's the effect of that if we do? Having the understanding darkened, we cannot live with spiritual darkness as God's children, which will happen if, in fact, we are looking to mimic the world of the Gentiles, right? Or the world, the unsaved world. Being alienated from the life of God, we cannot afford to be distanced or separated apart from God in our way of life. We can't be Christians on Sunday and not the rest of the week. Through the ignorance that is in them, if we don't understand God's word or his will, we're looking at trouble right in the face. It's coming our way. It's a matter of time when it's going to happen. Through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, think about that. What does this mean? This means God speaks and I say, well, who cares? It's referring to being numb, right? You get poked with a needle and I say, well, I don't feel that. It's the Holy Spirit convicting our conscience and the Word of God speaking to our heart, and it just kind of doesn't land. It just goes on down the road. We cannot be numb to the Word of God or to the Spirit of God speaking to us. That can't be in between, or it has no place in this description of being fitly joined together, right? It says, but ye have not so learned Christ. Number two. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, to be joined together as brother and brother and sister in Jesus Christ, within his church, right? What will join us together and make that joint solid and tight is listening to Jesus. If so be that ye have heard him. It's being taught by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's humbling ourselves in the sight of God and submitting ourselves to his teaching as the truth is in Jesus. It is listening to Jesus Christ and what his word has to say. Verse 22, that you put off the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to this, to the deceitful lust. You know, there are many things that want to get in between brother and brother and sister within the church of God. And if the church is going to be fitly joined together, these are things that cannot be there, because it's going to prevent that type of a union, of a grasping and a clasping together of heart and heart. What we need to have in order for that to be fastened firmly is we must take advantage of hearing him, being taught by Jesus repeatedly, and receiving his truth. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. I cannot live my life in the world, pursuing the world, and try to hand my heart off to you as a child of God, and somehow try to make that fit. That will take apart the church. Brothers and sisters, you can't do that towards me either. Ephesians 5:1, be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness that not be once named among you as become a saint. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, neither jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, or hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God. When we look for a holy union with the Lord, not only can we not engage in immorality, we can't watch programs, look at things on TV or pornography or anything else that jokes about it, or tries to create humor about these sins. and pretend that somehow that's going to help cement the material together. It's going to prevent unity in Christ. And that you put on, excuse me, going back to Ephesians 4. What is it that promises a secure union between brother to brother in the Lord and generation to generation? And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's a beautiful verse. We talked a little bit about this morning what it's like to be married to sin and what that marriage covenant is like and what life is like when you're married to sin, Romans 7. Being married to the Spirit of God is very different. When we're married to sin, we get up and we're hating life and we can only anticipate more of the same. By the grace of God, as we are married, as we enter into a covenant fellowship of salvation with Jesus Christ, and we are sealed with His Spirit. Every day, brothers and sisters, and you know this just as much as I do, we get up, we look to the Lord Jesus Christ, we spend time with Him and with those of like precious faith, and seeking to serve Him in the ways He has called us, our spirits are refreshed. We find new vigor. We have new purpose. We have new hope. We are reminded of what the Word of God says. We know what how the word applies in the situations that our lives take us through. That is very encouraging. We need to find ourselves frequently being renewed in the Spirit. When that is the case, you and I can form fellowships, relationships, be of one heart and one spirit, and we grasp each other heart to heart and hand in hand. But I must do my part. And brothers and sisters, all due respect, you've got to do yours as well. That's the way the union works. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. These are the things. These are the glues that will actually hold together materials that sometimes fasteners can't do a very good job. When I lived in Ohio, we lived in Norton some many, many years ago. I walked into the garage one day, and my dad's working in the garage, and he's working with some lumber. And he was looking to fasten these pieces of lumber together, and I'm looking at the glue, and he's using glue. He made the comment to me, well, it's the glue that holds it all together. I said, yeah, right, Dad. I thought it was the nails or the fasteners or the screws, like I knew better than him. Well, I did not. He knew better than me. Glue, and the right type of glue, can seal surfaces and mate surfaces and hold them and grasp them and clasp them firmly together. When we pursue with our hearts, in our mind's eye, in our hearts, in our behaviors, in what we see, what we look at, what we hear, the righteousness of God and things that are holy as defined by Scripture, my heart is ready to be merged and melded together with yours. Your heart will be ready to meld together with mine. This is how the body of Christ is fitly joined together, and this is how the body of Christ is able to grow together as a holy temple in the Lord. Wherefore, putting away lying, you try to put lying within those two surfaces, it's not going to work. It's going to weaken that joint. If I deceive, it's not going to work. If I speak the truth, we can expect to be one and one in heart. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Like the same day, if I lose my temper, it needs to be fixed then. Otherwise, bitterness or something else can set in. By the way, young men and brothers, or you know what, young sisters and young women as well. Do you know that anger is often a precursor to sexual sin? You don't deal with anger. If we don't deal with anger, and that gets into the heart, that can lead us to other issues, such as sexual sin. We must be careful in life. Neither give place to the devil. There's no place for dust and dirt between two pieces of lumber that you're trying to glue together. It's not going to work. When the Lord is looking to meld hearts together and to fitly join us as his members in the Lord together, one of another, we cannot give place to the devil. Let him that steals steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands a thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. That which is that honorable, if you will, fruit is something that binds the brotherhood together. We can think of this as, what do they call it? People helpers. People helpers? I think you've probably heard of something like that before within our churches. Where you have brothers and sisters who get together and are looking to try to help in humanitarian ways those who have needs. I think a verse like this fits in that just fine. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. There are things that can take something that has been put together in a masterful way and is designed and has a capacity to last a lifetime, to in fact take that apart. Things that are fitly joined together in the church as we follow the Word of God and commit to living accordingly as individuals, to where we can be melded together by the Spirit of God, that can be taken apart. When the Apostle Paul wrote to the Church of Rome and asked the question, who can separate us from the love of God in Romans chapter 8, as we can read that passage there, and then there is this long list, right, that follows, where it says, who shall separate us from the love of God? In terms of what can break that union, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. The answer to the question is no, these things cannot. What's missing from the list? Sin. Sin is missing from the list. Sin can destroy something that has been fitly joined together if it is not repented of and acted upon appropriately. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And perhaps, I suppose, this might be the capstone. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sakes, hath forgiven you. Kind and tender-hearted. Something about kindness and being tender. When we have a difficulty with a relationship, in a relationship with a brother or sister, and we know things aren't going quite right, we might very well tell ourselves, well, of course I love my brother and my sister. Of course I do. I'm having a hard time talking with them right now. We're keeping our distance. But I tell you what, if he or she is ever in trouble, you can count on it. I'll help them out. I'll keep my distance until I really need to. Something about the grace of God that allows you and I to be tender or kind with one another. That is very, very different than all or nothing. Think about that. Where there is a tenderness in the heart, tender-hearted, where we have the grace of God to be kind with the soul that we may be challenged with, where that kindness and that tenderheartedness exists, that's another element to the glue that holds the brotherhood together and promises us that the church will endure. A storm is coming. Really, it is. When people call my department in the middle of the night and they say, I have a water leak, and they describe it to you, they need help right now, not tomorrow. When the storms hit the church, we're going to need help now. The lines of communication will need to be open between brother and brother, sister and sister. May God give you and I, brother and sister, to allow the Word of God and the Spirit of God to be that material, that glue, that holds us together. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That's going to happen. The question is, will it happen with me? Will it happen with you? Will you endure? Will I endure? May God give us the grace that we be found such by the Lord, enduring in love and in the Spirit of God, that his church be sustained. May the Lord bless his word, and perhaps Brother Louis has something that he would add to that.